Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Meanwhile at 1138 Tal Iran Memorial Lane in Disney, Indiana.
Secure him to the pole, men. Tightly.
Oh, not so rough, guys.
Yeah, we are a Disney podcast after all.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
You'd better find them, wherever they are. If Scott or Tracy, the high muckety mucks of Disney, Indiana, found out about our plans, we're finished.
No, I promise, I didn't take them, if that's what this is about.
Nope. You, Lost Boy Jesse, are charged with giving Tony Pascal credit for hosting Friends of the Magic 2014, a mistake that was repeated by my wife unknowingly.
Oh, come on. It was just one teeny mistake. I didn't expect an Imperial firing squad.
No one expects the Imperial firing squad. However, before I have you shot, Paul Berry never told you what happened to your father.
He didn't need to tell me anything. My dad's just fine. Hi, Dad.
No. I am your techno-retro dad.
That's impossible. You're not that much older than me. The implication is just, well, that's disgusting.
Okay, I'm kidding. But I'm still going to have you shot.
This deal keeps getting worse all the time.
Ready, men? Take aim.
Stop! Holding him is dangerous. If word of this gets out, it could generate sympathy for the rebellion. And Scott and Tracy will sic mortis on you, and he's a veteran.
It would be unfortunate if I had to leave a garrison here. Very well, release him. Jeez. I had their weapons set for stun. It's not like I'd actually kill him.
Yeah? Well, how about the time you threatened to freeze me in carbonite?
You take the fun out of everything. You two won't even let me blow up a planet.
Thanks, Heather. It's a good thing the secondary shields were up.
Yeah, you almost weren't a part of the Neverland Podcast number 39.
Take the star to the right and stay on until morning. Neverland.
Good morning!
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
And now, please welcome your host for the podcast. He's the pen.
I got pen sword. I'm the pen now.
Actually, I got his microphone.
He's grown up. You promised never to grow old.
Here age relives fond memories of the past.
Yeah. His nose got real big.
Well,
Welcome back to Panda-Man, Panda-Man.
And now, your host, Jeremy.
All right, Neverlanders, it is that time again. It is time to pull your pixie out of your pocket and give her a couple shakes gently now. You know that you don't want to make a pixie mad. They can be troublesome, problematic, a little mischievous. But give her a couple of shakes, get a little bit of that pixie dust on you, and heck, give a little bit of the pixie dust to your friends nearby, and we will all fly off here to Neverland. We have a jam-packed show here for you this week. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're going to have a ball this week. We're going to take a little trip with Jesse, Lost Boy Jesse, through Star Tours, which, you know, he's okay. I wasn't going to kill him. But I hope you enjoyed our little intro there. I had a little business to take care of in Disney, Indiana, which basically what we were doing is I'm trying to let you know of some different podcasts that I enjoy that I thought you might, like Disney, Indiana that we mentioned. Go check that out. Search that on my iTunes and Stitcher. Also, Techno Retro Dads, not a Disney podcast, but lots of fun. I think you might enjoy them. And of course, we'd also mention Paul Berry of A Window to the Magic. If you search for WTTM or Window to the Magic on iTunes and Stitcher, these are just some recommended podcasts. They're ones that I enjoy, and I figure if you're enjoying my show, you will probably enjoy their show as well. In fact, we have a couple of guests today that we like to call them our cousin podcast, because they're also Neverlanders as well as being Skywalkers. We have Richard and Sarah from Skywalking Through Neverland. They're a Disney podcast. It is also a Star Wars podcast. It is a fan podcast. It is a lot about fandom and a lot of what binds us all together as fans, as they like to say. So we've got so much fun and everything packed into this show that we really just got to get rolling with it, because we're even going to take a trip with Jesse on Star Tours. So may the Force be with us, and let's go for it.
This one's for you, Marv.
All right, a little bit of news here. Mainly, we're just going to cross over a couple of quick topics that are of note this week. This week, we saw the passing of Richard Attenborough, well known for directing a lot of different movies. Also, to me, he's always going to be best known for Jurassic Park, playing John Hammond. Also, I really enjoyed him as Santa Claus in the Miracle on 34th remake. Miracle on 34th Street remake. He was very good in that as well, and he will definitely be missed. Also of note, we would like to mention that Guardians of the Galaxy is now the number one movie this year, which really not unexpected. It was just an excellent movie, and I'm sure most of you have seen it multiple times. I might have gone multiple times, except for I had other things I wanted to go see. In fact, this is the 30th anniversary this year of the film Ghostbusters, and they are getting a special Blu-ray release for Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2, as we have mentioned previously on the show before. Well, they were doing a special 1 week only, and it's currently this week. You're going to have to find a select theater, but they are re-showing Ghostbusters on a big screen, which I hadn't actually seen it on a big screen since it was we watched it at a drive-in when I was a child. But it was a lot of fun. My wife and I, Pixie Heather, we went and watched it yesterday, and it's fun. It's still always the great movie that I've seen, golly, I don't even know how many times. But it is interesting to see how some of the special effects fall apart when you are on a bigger screen, and you can kind of see little flaws here and there. So it is kind of interesting, kind of watch those. But what was more interesting is there's a lot of humor that goes on in the background or in the foreground that on a smaller screen, on your television, you're focused on the main things happening, the main conversation, and you sometimes miss something going on to the side or off in the background. Give you a great example. When they've gone up into the Sedgwick Hotel, and they have just accidentally blasted the maid and blew apart all of her stuff. When they're having a conversation in the foreground, if you look off and watch the maid, she actually gets a spray bottle and is trying to put the fire out from the toilet paper. Sorry. So, yeah, lots of fun things to have. So, hey, you've got 1 week. Hurry up if you're a fan of the Ghostbusters and take an opportunity to see it on the big screen one more time before these Blu-ray releases. I highly recommend it. We had a laugh, and it's always funny, and you kind of know all the jokes were coming, but it just makes you smile anyway, just getting to see it in the theater experience one more time. All righty, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on news, because really the most thing that I was hearing about was rumors of Jeremy Renner had said something where people started saying, oh, look, he's going to now be in Captain America 3. And no, nobody has said that. That is a rumor. There was also a silly rumor about, Hawkeye is going to die in Avengers Part 2. No, another silly rumor. And Jeremy Renner himself has said, no, I get to live through it. Thank you very much. Hawkeye is living on. So really a lot of silly nonsense this week. So we'll just go ahead and leave that be. And you know what? We have some fun listener feedback that I would love to share with you. So we'll do that right now.
Hello, this is Giuseppe. I'm coming to speak to Peter Pan. I'll hold. Well, this is still Giuseppe, holding for Peter Pan. I'll call back later. Bye-bye.
Well, that was a very funny phone call. After I'd gotten that one, I thought, well, maybe Giuseppe here, he got confused. And so I redid the message to say, well, this is just a voicemail. You won't actually speak with me. So I don't know if he was just being silly with us, because I did enjoy him humming some Disney tunes to us. So I thought that was fun. So I went ahead and shared it. And I just kind of hoped, and I was talking to Heather. So, well, I hope Giuseppe calls back because he wanted to share something with us. And indeed, he did call back and he shared this with us.
Hello, the Neverland Podcast. This is Giuseppe again. How are you? How's everyone doing? I wanted to give you a trip report. I ran the marathon on Friday at Disneyland. I know everyone was supposed to run the 5K, but I ran the marathon. Let me explain. I was running the 5K. I wanted to make better time, so I got in a taxi cab, and it took me much farther. And he let me out because I did not have any money. And I was running back in the 5K. I fell in love with Snow White. She was so beautiful. No seven dwarfs, but she did have a husband. He did not take too kindly to my advances on Snow White. So I kept running. He was a very good runner, by the way, much better than me. I tried to catch another cab, and the end of the story is I did run a marathon, and I'm calling you from the Disney jail right now. I wondered if you could possibly get me out, maybe post a bail. You'll have to speak to Goofy. Anyway, this is Giuseppe in the Disneyland jail for you, the Neverland Podcast. Seriously, can you please post a bail? Anyway, bye-bye.
Well, Giuseppe, I'm sorry you wound up in Disney jail, but thank you for calling. But I can't really get there to bail you out, but here's a trick that we Neverlanders like to use. Since we always have a pixie in our pocket, we tend to like to spread a little pixie dust on the guards. Then they usually get pretty happy and decide, oh, what a wonderful day. You know what? Let's just let you out. So if you have your pixie with you, try that. Give a little pixie dust to that guard, and we'll just see what happens. And hopefully they let you go, because really, you know, you were just trying to enjoy a day at Disney and run a little marathon. You know, you weren't causing too much trouble, right? Because who doesn't fall in love with Snow White? My goodness. But also, I have another voicemail that this did also as well crack me up almost as much as Giuseppe.
Hello, the Neverland Podcast. This is Don Juanito calling.
And that's where it stops. It just suddenly cuts off. So I'm wondering if Don was running the marathon at some point as well, and maybe he fell in a pothole? I don't know. He just gone. Was that quick? So, but thanks for calling. I did have a bit of fun with those. Those were really actually kind of cracked me up, the way those turned out. But we need to kind of get moving along here. So let's take a ride with Jesse back at the Friends of the Magic event hosted by Paul Berry, not Tony Pasquale. He didn't have anything in there. Or Pascal. I'm not sure how you say his last name. I'm sorry. But, you know, Friends of the Magic 2014. Of course, we sent Lost Boy Jesse there. And because it's appropriate for this show, let's follow him along on a ride on Star Tours. Okay,
Yellow strap to pull the belt out from the right side of the seat and snap the belt into the buckle on your left. For your safety, remain seated throughout your flight with your restraints securely fastened, and please watch your children.
Para su seguridad, permanezcan sentados con el cinturón de seguridad ajustado y cuiden a los pequeñitos.
Do not put on your flight glasses until instructed to do so by a crew member. One final reminder, smoking and photography are never permitted on any Star Tours flight. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask a Star Tours agent. You'll be boarding in just a few moments. Thank you.
Please prepare for immediate boarding.
And then back row, tug on the belts, please.
Okay, go ahead and put on your front glass. Is that a line? All right.
1401, you are cleared for departure. Initiate takeoff sequence.
What? Auto takeoff sequence initiated.
R2-D2, what's going on here? We are not ready for takeoff. The captain isn't on board yet.
You never can fly this thing.
No, neither can you. We need a proper pilot.
Storm troopers will be deactivated for sure.
Hold it right there, Captain.
I'm not actually the captain.
We're looking for this rebel spy. Have you seen her?
No one on this transport could possibly be a spy. Oh, dear.
This is the speeder we're looking for.
Goodbye.
night on Main Street.
Once a year, Disney fans from all across the country converge on one little town. Once a year, cartoonists and artists are invited to share their talents, stories, and art with these Disney fans. Once a year, the magic of Disney is centrally located in one place, Walt Disney's boyhood home, Marceline, Missouri. The Neverland Podcast invites you to come to ToonFest 2014 in Marceline, Missouri, September 20th, 2014, for a visit to the original Main Street, USA. Jeremy, host of the Neverland Podcast, will be there to meet you with prizes.
Be one of the first to find me and tell me where you heard this promo, and you win. It's kind of like Where's Waldo, only with a bit of Disney magic thrown in.
He could be watching the parade, shopping for classic Disney items in the antique shops, exploring the Walt Disney Hometown Museum, listening to a cartoonist at the community center, visiting Walt's Dreaming Tree, or eating something.
I'll be the guy in the Neverland Podcast t-shirt stuffing his face. Small town festivals have some of the best food.
Kettle corn. For full details, visit www.neverlandpodcast.com or www.toonfest.net. If you're planning to make a trip to Marceline, Missouri on September 20th, Jeremy would love to meet you. The parade begins on Main Street at 10 a.m. Central Time. Don't miss it.
All right, Neverlanders, we have special guests with us because we are not alone in Neverland. Have you ever looked up into the sky, or maybe when you're flying with your Pixie and noticed there are people skywalking around in Neverland and wondered, who are these people and what is skywalking anyway? Well, they're the people from Skywalking Through Neverland, and their names are Sarah and Richard, and they are here. Hooray!
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, hey, Skywalkers.
Hey, Skywalkers, and hey, hey, Neverlanders, all my Lost Boys and Pixies out there. Which the Pixies should get along real well with you, Sarah, because your online name is Jedi Tink.
Yes.
Works perfectly. Now, we're a little afraid of you, Richard, because I see on Twitter that you are...
Sith Rich.
Okay, now, you two, on very early on in your podcast, I believe it was probably the first episode, you guys told a really cute story, actually, of how you two met. And it is very Star Wars related, and since that's what we're going to talk about, I got to have you tell the Neverlanders about it.
Okay. Well, it was about 7 years ago now? 2005?
No, it was 9 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right, so... In 2005, Halloween, I went to a Halloween swing dance at a place I always go to, and so whenever there's new faces there, I'm always kind of interested, especially when they're young new faces in my age range, and especially when they're dressed as Anakin Skywalker. So I saw this guy across the room dressed as Anakin Skywalker, and I went up to him, and I said, "Can I dance with the Jedi?"
At that point, I knew she was mine. Someday I'm going to marry this
barmaid
wench girl.
Yes.
And the moral of the story being, when someone asks if you're a Jedi, you say yes. But I thought that was a very cute story when you told us, like, oh, it's even Star Wars. It's just awesome on so many levels.
Oh,
well, because when I go out as Anakin, most people outside of conventions and cosplaying will say, oh, you're Luke Skywalker.
Nope.
Yeah. No.
So the fact that Sarah calling me a Jedi, I knew she knew who I was.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about Star Wars that night.
Mm-hmm. And we went to Disneyland for our Valentine's Day, you know, first Valentine's Day.
Wasn't until I saw you 3 months later.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. Because you never returned to that dance club
for a
while.
Yeah, then came the holidays and I was busy.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. And 3 months later, I came back and I saw Sarah over there, but she wasn't wearing her barmaid outfit anymore.
What was I wearing?
A very nice outfit.
Good answer.
Just the barmaid outfit just kind of showed off your barmaids.
I know.
Oh, my. Hey, family show.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. So, other than the movies themselves, what would be like a favorite Star Wars memory? I'm thinking like Star Wars related, because that would be a really good Star Wars memory. But you have any other memories associated with Star Wars that always kind of pops up?
I have 37 years full of Star Wars memories. But one that comes to mind is on March the 8th of 2008, when I knew that was the day I was going to propose to Sarah.
Aww.
And I lured her down to the Japanese gardens here in Long Beach, California, where as we're going through the gardens, out pops Mary Poppins and Bert from Mary Poppins, and that's Sarah's favorite movie other than Star Wars, who sang her a nice personalized Jolly Holiday ditty.
Yes.
Aww.
And then we sat down on a bench. I got down on one knee and proposed, only I forgot the ring. But who's always there to save the day? R2!
Oh, cool.
And then R2 comes rolling out from behind the bushes with Sarah's engagement ring.
Oh, you definitely outdid me.
And that's my favorite Star Wars memory.
That's a very good one. My proposal was lame compared to that. My wife was... she teaches biology at school, but before she was at the school, she worked at a local state park, and she was doing programs for the campers, you know, the nature programs they do if you ever go camping. Mm-hmm. And so I would just kind of show up kind of being supportive because I was that kind of guy, you know. And so she goes and she asks for questions, and so I just pop up and say, well, I've got one. How would you like to marry me?
Aww.
It wasn't much, but
no, that's
she
cute.
Stayed.
Out of left field.
Unexpected?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't that unexpected. She had already picked out an engagement ring and knew I was going for it. So,
you're a smart man. Never, ever pick out a girl's jewelry. Let them do it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Jewelry and clothes and shoes.
It's true.
Very
and
true.
And wine.
Yeah.
Always let them do it.
Well, and always let me choose my own Star Wars memory?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a good segue. See, I was segging.
It's like, wait a minute, did I just force a memory on you?
No, you didn't at all.
Oh,
that was
a segue.
Yes.
We need Rob Dillinger to create a segue alert.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, my favorite Star Wars memory, I was thinking about it, and there's many, of course, from when I was 10 to now, but I think Star Wars Celebration 6 in Orlando... When was that, 2012?
2012.
It seemed like my whole...
It was 2 years ago this weekend.
Oh my, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Well, it seemed like my whole life had been like just leading up to this moment of you know, I had Richard by my side and, you know, we were together in a whole big Star Wars like group, you know, just meeting all these people who were all just so in tune with us. And it was amazing and awesome, and I had made my Jedi Tink costume, and that was getting rave reviews, and so just meeting all the people, plus the Jedi Tink, plus then going to Disney World right after that, on the same vacation, Star Wars and Disney, it just seemed like my whole life was like, oh, leading up to this awesome moment. Fandom.
Yeah, I'd say my Star Wars best memory is actually more linked to Richard's memory in that before my wife and I actually even started dating, it's kind of this funny story. It would make a great romantic comedy. We had been kind of best friends for a long time, and all of our friends kept asking us, well, what's the story with you two? And we were like, I don't know. Because I had already had asked her out once, and she had turned me down.
Oh, you're in the friend zone.
I was in the friend zone, and I thought that's where I belonged. Little did I know that after she had friended me off, she thought, why did I do that? So nobody was saying anything. But we went and we stood in line, though, for Star Wars Episode One together, which to me was like awesome. It's like, oh my gosh, she actually wants to go and watch a Star Wars movie with me and stand in line. So,
aww.
And actually, even thanks to her, we've got a bunch of, we've got a poster for every Star Wars movie, and I'm actually sitting right next to a very large Darth Vader because she is a huge Star Wars fan too. So, yay!
Nice.
Oddly enough, we're sitting right next to a 6-foot Darth Vader ourselves. Where are you located? Where do you live?
Kansas City, Missouri, right where Walt Disney had his first failed studio, Laugh-O-Gram.
Oh.
Oh. I can definitely add into the saying how your wife can get comments and cosplay. Actually, I think it was the first Halloween we had together back when we first got married. There was some people I had met at my workplace that his church was doing like this big concert slash Halloween party thing and actually had some bands in there playing and had a costume contest. And I showed up and I thought I was being creative because I put on a Spider-Man suit that had kind of ripped a little bit because it was a size too small for me. And so I put on some jeans and kind of put on a bit of a zip-up kind of a hoodie type of thing and had an old-style camera and some glasses on. And so I actually was transitioning between Peter Parker and Spider-Man. I was that midway thing. And so I kind of got in on the costume contest, and they were going to pick two finalists. And of the other finalists was my wife. Now, my wife is 6 foot tall.
Oh.
And she had a full Viking-style kind of very leggy, showy kind of, you know, nice little Valkyrie headdress, and I let her borrow my sword from the Renaissance Festival. It's wooden, but it still looks cool. So we were actually the two finalists for the costume contest, but because she looked a lot hotter as a Valkyrie than I did as a Peter Parker / Spider-Man, that she won handily. So
wow.
So I understand that when you have your wife in cosplay and everybody's paying attention to her, and you're like, what about me? So,
Richard likes that anonymity.
Yeah, I love that she gets the attention. I get just to hang back.
Get to hide. Well, I'm an extrovert, so I like attention.
Well, I'm an extrovert, too, but time and place.
Yeah, time and place. I've learned to balance because my wife is very introverted, so I have to learn to balance things so I don't make her nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So that still means I get in trouble a lot, though.
Well, I've had 30-some-odd years of going to conventions, dressing up, and people taking pictures and stuff. So now it's Sarah's turn.
There you go.
Pass me the lightsaber.
So why is it you think these movies have remained culturally relevant for all of these years?
Because they're awesome.
Well, that's a good answer.
Well, I have more of a intelligent answer. Well, awesome is great. No.
It's basic. It's right down to the core.
It is. It is. I agree. But
edit.
No, but I just want to say that I think, have you ever read, Jeremy, Star Wars, The Magic of Myth?
No, but I think I probably know what they studied up on. I did take a class in high school that was mythology and legend, and we went through the hero's journey. Is mm-hmm. that where we're going?
Yeah. Basically, this book, when I read it, just really opened my eyes because it not only does it evaluate how Star Wars is the Joseph Campbell's hero cycle, how it falls, mm-hmm. how it follows that exactly, but it also, all the designs, all the helmet designs and the blaster designs and even the costume designs are based in something real, something tangible, some reality. And so I think that coupled with the fact that it follows the Joseph Campbell's hero cycle makes it a modern myth, and therefore it's something that's going to stay with our culture always.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. In fact, my teacher in that class actually prepared a program that he had in the evening and invited parents, teachers, whatever to come, and he actually showed clips from Star Wars following the hero's journey throughout the trilogy. It was so cool.
Nice. So,
that was probably the greatest teacher I ever had.
That's your tax dollars at work.
Exactly.
About time.
I mean, we got to read The Hobbit in that class. Nice. But it was an English class.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I'm well-versed. Okay, now I want to, of course, relate this back into, of course, our major topic, of course, by opening now in Star Wars, is we have coming, and now we finally have a release date for Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
Which I didn't memorize, but I announced it on my last show, and I think you guys did too.
Of release dates.
Well, October 3rd is the release date for release proper on Disney XD.
For Spark of the Rebellion.
For Spark of Rebellion.
That's their one-hour movie.
And then October 13th is the release date for the series,
right,
correct?
But then going back,
yes,
Spark of Rebellion is going to have a preview on September 29th.
Right. Well, it's going to be released, but only on people who can view it video on demand on their mm-hmm. TVs.
Which you have to have like Time Warner, I think, around here. And since I'm using DirecTV, I don't get to do the early viewing.
I'm
but I'm patient.
Yes. Well, it's just 5 more days. 5 more days is all you have to wait.
Yeah, 5 days is just a work week, and I can survive many of those. So, but the nice thing is I'm kind of getting caught up. I've actually been rewatching the Clone Wars, and I have not yet watched season 6.
Ooh.
You know what? Put it on pause. We'll wait.
Okay. So I was wondering if you think there was anything that maybe was teased in the 6th season that we might see followed up in Rebels, but without spoiling anything, because I might not be the only one that is kind of working his way back through.
Simple answer, no.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
We don't think so.
No, that's what Dave Filoni has said many, many times before. Each one is its own series.
Which is cool.
So it's not going to lead into it. I'm sure at some point you're going to see...
Characters, perhaps.
Characters, or even in that 7-minute trailer, that fruit that vendor was selling was from the Clone Wars.
But oh.
That's a very small thread, but...
Nice catch.
thank you. I'm sure there's going to be other threads. There has to be.
Well, and we already know that Obi-Wan Kenobi is confirmed... Yes. To be in Rebels by James Arnold Taylor.
I doubt we're going to see Ahsoka or Captain Rex, but you're going to see other characters.
Probably peripheral characters.
Yeah, maybe some bounty hunters come back around.
Or a mention of one, like maybe the Umbara arc or just something from the Clone Wars. I'm sure we're going to hear something about that. And there's already been a book that had Ezra and Bosk.
Oh,
so we're going to see, even though Bosk is from The Empire Strikes Back,
right?
We're going to see he's more prominently shown in The Clone Wars, and now he's teaming up with Ezra for some reason, or maybe hunting Ezra. Or,
well, I think, if anything, in Star Wars Rebels, you're going to see many, many ties to A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi before you'll see ties to any of the prequels or Clone Wars.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to see maybe where there's a transition between clone troopers and the stormtroopers we're familiar with.
Judging by the concept art and just the pictures and cells, yeah, not anymore. The stormtroopers pretty much are like 98% there.
Yeah, seems that way from that 7-minute preview, which I was so giddy.
weren't we all?
Oh, yes. And the funny thing is I didn't even realize it was about to be on. I was trying to catch that Phineas and Ferb special, which I missed both times. But I caught in and the credits were rolling and I was like, oh, dang, I missed. I wonder if that was going to have been any good because I'm not a fan of Phineas and Ferb by any stretch, but I wanted to see it. But then suddenly here comes that preview and I was like, And I loved the style. I loved the music that they had. It sounded like John Williams. I loved the sound effects were back of a TIE fighter flying in, and everything looked like Ralph McQuarrie art. I was like, this is the greatest show.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see that.
Yes. This is the animated series we really wanted to see for all these years, because The Clone Wars, it's a pretty good show, but that's not what we grew up with when we're about our age. You know, we're like wanting something that builds on the trilogy that made us love Star Wars to begin with, and the only series we've gotten at this point was a pretty cute little Ewok cartoon and a nonsensical droid cartoon that the whole time I was like, when were they owned by this guy? What's going on? It's like, here's the characters, but I don't recognize them somehow. So this, I feel like I've waited 30 years for this too. But that actually takes care of one of the questions I had, if we expected some characters to make appearances. But I had a list of different characters that I would kind of like to see pop up, like maybe see Vader do something a little bit, or maybe even the Emperor, perhaps even Grand Moff Tarkin maybe makes an appearance.
I'm sure they're going to follow that same Marvel Comics series that we had in the 70s and 80s, where Vader wasn't always the villain of the issue, but we'd see him rolling in and out every couple of episodes, issues rather. And I'm sure we're going to see him a couple times a season, just maybe giving the Inquisitor some direction or him having to take action into his own hands. I hope we don't see too much of him, because this is not really his story.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to overuse him.
Right.
And I would like to see Tarkin. I don't want to see the Emperor, just because in Star Wars we never saw the Emperor.
That's true.
He was in his throne room or wherever he was, and just being guarded by himself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really, I don't really think until Return of the Jedi where he had to come out and talk to Vader one-on-one that he did. I think he was very, very secluded up until that point.
Yeah, it seemed that way. He was sitting around, and if you've seen the Robot Chicken, he was sitting around like ordering lunch over the phone and yelling at Darth Vader over the phone for letting the Death Star get blown up by a farm boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't think that's going to be in episode 7 at all, or even the Rebel series. Or, you never know.
Probably
you never
not.
Know. It'd be funny if they worked that in there somehow, and they just said, oh, it's canon now, accept it.
Exactly. And something else I'm actually hoping for is I'd like to see a little bit more of Boba Fett's development, because we've seen him as a little boy, and I would like to see him maybe as a teenager as he's slowly beginning to earn that reputation. If they just take a little side trip with Boba Fett, I'd be happy.
Yeah. Boba Fett and
Boba Fett? Where?
And Darth Maul. I really want to know.
Ooh.
Maybe I said too much.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, I did see Darth Maul come back as a weird spider guy, and to me it seemed the silliest
depends
idea.
Depends on where you are in the Clone Wars. I don't want to say too much.
Yeah. I did see that part of, I don't remember what season it is, but I know there is a gap in the Clone Wars that I didn't see because we shut off our cable and we were trying to save money, and so I missed probably one or two seasons somewhere in the middle, but I don't remember what seasons they were, which is why I started, you know, let's just watch from the beginning because it'll be great.
Yeah, so. I really, the cat's kind of out of the bag now, so I really want to see Darth Maul.
Yeah.
That would be a great bridge between the prequels and this era.
Mm-hmm. I still want to know what happened to Ahsoka, but I'm pretty sure that popped up in like season 5 or 6 from what I've heard, so I will wait.
Keep watching.
She opens up a cupcake stand on Auradon. Oh, I'm sorry. Once again, I ruined it.
Oh, I'm no, sorry. Spoilers. Didn't you just have a nice long discussion about that, about the Techno Retro Dads? Which, by the way, I'm completely with you on the back of the Phantom Menace soundtrack. I remember when I bought that, I read that, and I was like, oh, no! And then I had it with me over at a community college that I was at, and my friends would be like, oh, cool, the Phantom Menace soundtracks. What's on it? And I would say, don't look at the back!
They should have... And back in 1983, when they released the Return of the Jedi action figures, they actually blurred out the two Ewoks.
Wow.
Lo Grey and Chief Chirpa, because they didn't want people to know too soon what the Ewoks looked like. So that's what they should have done with these.
Exactly. Well, it could have been worse. Philip loves to complain about this story he has, that when before he had gotten to see Empire Strikes Back, his cousin had actually, you know, had just came back from the movie, ran over to his house or whatever and said, oh my gosh, Darth Vader is Luke's father, and ruined the whole thing.
Yeah, I think as kids, you just don't know better. You're just so excited.
Yeah, it's kind of like, Santa Claus isn't real.
Hey.
No. There may be children listening.
Edit.
Edit. Well, you know, I accidentally spoiled something for myself. Speaking of, once again, my friend Philip.
Santa Claus?
Exactly. But nice going, exactly. But now she's going to say there's no Easter Bunny.
Hey, come on. No need to be silly now.
I am the Easter Bunny.
Oh, well, I need more eggs. Trying to make an egg salad. Okay. But anyways, all right. My mother, I think, thought Empire Strikes Back was too dark, and so she wouldn't let me watch it.
Aww.
So I'd watched the first one over and over again, all over. It was on HBO or whatever. But so she didn't let me watch it. So what I did is I found the book at the school library, and I read the book of The Empire Strikes Back, so I at least had an idea of things before I had gotten to see the movie. But okay, so once again, over with my buddy Philip. His mother used to cut hair, and my mom thought, well, we'll just go over there, and she can cut your hair and everything. So while I'm there getting a haircut, the rest of the family is in the living room, and they're watching Return of the Jedi, and I'm kind of seeing a little bit of the end. But then I get to see the conversation between Han and Leia there at the end. He's my brother. And I said, what? And they all looked at me like, what, you haven't seen this? No, I haven't even seen Empire yet. And they were like, oh, no, and stopped the movie, and we're freaking out. Like, we just ruined the whole thing.
Oh. So.
Didn't ruin anything for me, because the funny thing is I actually saw Return of the Jedi before I saw The Empire Strikes Back, which worked out okay because I had read the book, so at least I know what the story was supposed to be.
That's good. Well, I was introduced to it all backwards anyway. I saw Return of the Jedi first, then Empire, then Star Wars. So I never got that pivotal moment of, you know, I am your father. It was very sad.
That was actually something kind of fun with, once again, I got stories on Philip all over the place. But his, well, now wife, but when they first started dating, we found out she hadn't seen any Star Wars movies.
How is that possible?
We won't get into that. Let's just say very sheltered family. So what we thought, I said, hey, well, we've got all three movies. Let's just have movie nights for the next 3 weeks, and we'll have her watch the trilogy with us. It'll be great. And so we were making sure we didn't reveal anything. We kept our mouth shut and all this stuff, not knowing that she did kind of have a clue on some things. Although she was kind of thinking that Leia was Padme's mother and had that backwards, but she knew about Darth Vader being Luke's father, and she actually asked that, oh, so that's Darth Vader. Now, he's Luke's father, right? And we're all going, I don't know, is he? Trying to salvage something, but it was kind of fun. She still had a lot of surprises that she hadn't known, but it's really fun to watch people experience for the first time, although I don't think she became full fan of it as much as we were hoping she would, but he married her anyway. So, but yeah, it works out. You know, she probably likes it more than she lets on, but she doesn't get overly excited about too many things. But anyways, I've still got more questions, and I'm just going to go ramble. What do we know about the state of the galaxy as Rebels is beginning?
The Empire is messing everything up for everybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they're just getting into, well, they've been into power for about 14 years now, and they're still just throwing down their heavy hand on every star system that they can. So it's all just an Empire suppressive galaxy.
Yeah, I really liked in the 7-minute preview, we finally get to see just how evil that Empire was to regular people when they're persecuting just shopkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. Yes, this, now I understand where the people's point of view of living under the Empire, what that would be like. And I really hope they expand on that to show just how oppressive it was, because the most evil we really see of the Empire in the first film really is when they blow up Alderaan. And you're like, oh, these people are sick, you know. But until then, they're just, okay, well, we were told in the beginning that they're an evil Empire, so we just accept that and move on. But when we see them blow up a planet, we're like, oh, yeah, you got to go down.
Yeah, but as bad as that is, there you don't see anyone's faces, so it's pretty much a faceless planet. Whereas when you see them kicking around this little fruit vendor, then you can put a face on who's being bullied.
Right.
We even saw a touch of this in the Star Wars Holiday Special. You know, for better or for worse, if people like it or not, that's not the issue I'm trying to make here. But when that Imperial commander walks into Son Dan, who's played by Art Carney, into his shop, takes what he wants, puts it in his belt, and walks away.
And Art Carney can't say anything.
Can't say anything.
Yeah.
Nope.
Which reminds me of an odd detail that I actually saw from my time hop from a few years ago. The only time I've actually tried to sit through the holiday special, I noticed Art Carney mentioning that in his shop he has a proton pack.
So apparently his customers are Wookiees and Ghostbusters.
Exactly. But, of course, that was, I think, predating Ghostbusters, so nobody would have caught that until later. But I always thought that was cool when the one time I attempted to watch the holiday special, which...
Oh, you haven't watched it yet?
I could hardly stomach it.
No Clone Wars, no holiday special?
Ugh. Well, because I was taking it from one of Philip's old videotapes, and I was converting it onto the computer in order to make a DVD, and I'm not even sure I made myself a copy, but I probably still have it on my computer, and maybe one day I'll try to sit through it, but I was getting nauseous. It was so bad.
Well, you can't judge until you've seen it.
Oh, I've seen enough, but I'll try again sometime.
All right.
I'm thinking I will.
Yeah.
Okay, so now what do we know about the lead characters in Rebels and the actors portraying them? I haven't followed up on this as well as I probably should have, because I mainly focus on a lot of Marvel type of things because I'm a comic book reader at 37 years old. So, yeah, I really lost count on this sort of thing.
Well, Kanan is a Jedi that survived Order 66, and now he is on the run, and there's the ragtag team aboard the main ship, the Ghost, which is the Rebels' version of the Millennium Falcon.
Or the Firefly ship, if you want to call it that, too. It's very similar.
Sure.
Very parallels.
Sure. I'm going to go with the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, Millennium Falcon, yes. And the ship is owned actually by Hera Syndulla, who is a female Twi'lek.
Yes.
And
as from what we know, there's a little backstory between Kanan and Hera.
Yeah, there might be some little romance
we're
there.
We're going to see in a new novel called A New Dawn that comes out in just a few weeks.
Oh my goodness, leads... there's novels already based off these characters?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
That wow. leads up to Star Wars Rebels. And Vanessa Marshall plays Hera.
Mm-hmm.
And we are proud to say that we're a friend of hers.
Yeah.
I know I've heard that name before, too. What, has she done some other stuff?
Yeah, she's been like Wonder Woman.
Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
She's been a ton of things.
Ton of voice names.
Did she do that Spider-Woman motion comic that they did however many years ago it was?
I wish I knew the answer to that.
IMDb it.
Yeah.
We don't
know. She was a Spider-Woman, but with so many incarnations of every Marvel character, it's hard to keep track of who's doing what.
Yeah, and I really don't have the funding to buy all of these DVDs they keep putting out, too.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. is Kanan, which I hear his name, and I just think of Freddie from Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, but in the little clips that we've seen, is actually kind of a sexy voice, so I'm pleased with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it as a woman there.
Well, I gotta lend my female voice to the show.
There you go. We always need a female opinion. It always works.
Yes.
So I just think his wife is better looking than he is.
Who's, as do I.
Who's his wife? Who's his wife?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
She's still pretty, and we're allowed to say that she's pretty.
Oh, that's fine.
See? We know where the line is.
Yes.
So, so is there a character amongst us that you're most excited about?
Well, I'm excited about Hera, just because, you know, we've met Vanessa Marshall, and now I can kind of, you know, say, oh, this is a person I know, and, you know, it's her voice.
A character there for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kanan is more of the father figure. Hera, the
mother figure, definitely.
And Sabine, she's the Mandalorian graffiti artist. She's the rebellious daughter type.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Ezra Bridger, played by Taylor Gray, and he's the kid with the Force. He's the street kid. Who doesn't really know he's got the Force? Kind of like Anakin in Phantom Menace. He knew he had something.
Right, or Aladdin.
Exactly.
Aladdin never had the Force. I've seen Aladdin 100 times. I've never noticed he had the Force.
Yes,
it's still a good
wishes.
Correlation. It's a street rep, but he's more than what he seems. He's a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, see?
See?
I don't follow you.
That's
well,
okay.
Who else?
You don't have to follow because we're not leading anywhere.
Well, who else rounds out the cast?
We have Zeb, yes. And Zeb is a character I'm very excited about because he is pretty much the inspiration for Chewbacca as designed by Ralph McQuarrie back in the mid-70s. And I'm very excited about him because when I first saw him, that's what I immediately thought of. Since this Rebels is, it should be named Ralph McQuarrie's Star Wars The Rebels.
But yeah, no good idea ever gets completely abandoned is what this series proves.
Oh, yeah. The Clone Wars proved that many, many times.
That, too. Very much so.
So Zeb is voiced by Steve Blum, who actually on Twitter, I believe he's at Blumspew, and it's kind of fun to follow him because he says fun things. So, Richard, you're most excited about this character, Zeb?
I'm very excited about the look of him.
Okay.
Speaking of Steve, I don't know if it's Blum or Bloom. I've heard it both ways.
Oh.
I kind of wish he had a different sounding voice.
Oh, really?
Just because he's got that big, rough and gruff voice that you expect to come out of him. I kind of like when in Batman, when you heard, what do you call him? The guy who talks like this.
The guy who voices Batman?
The guy in Batman, the last movie. Guy with the mask, Zane.
Oh, Bane.
Bane. Yeah.
The guy who sounded like Patrick Stewart in a mask.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way that they didn't go off of how you would think he would sound.
I hated that.
I hated that voice choice, too, but the point I'm trying to make is I wish they maybe chose just a little bit something that was almost like Stewie from Family Guy. You don't expect that voice to come out of that baby.
I would have rather heard a South American voice since Bane is supposed to be a South American character.
Yeah, well, that's not the best example because I just hated that with a passion.
Right.
But that's just what I'm going with there.
Okay.
Based on his look, though, I would say Zeb is kind of your typical, he's like the bad boy of the group. He's your Wolverine character.
Well, he's like the muscle.
He's the muscle, yeah.
He's the protector.
Exactly.
So he's the one who's anyone gets out of line, anyone tries to hurt his friends,
I'm gonna
step
end
right
him.
Oh. Now let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. In the 7-minute trailer, Ezra does something and Zeb says, "I'm going to end him." Now all of a sudden everyone's up in arms because this big creature is going to kill this 14-year-old.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, come on, get over that.
It's a cartoon, it's people.
I don't think that's what they were intending. I think that was just one of those threats. Like, how many times has someone said, "I'm going to kill that person"?
And right.
They don't intend to. That's just the
expression.
Their personal expressions.
It's just releasing the frustration.
If Kane were to say, "Hey, wait a minute, Zeb, are you really going to kill this kid?" He'd say, whoa, I didn't mean that. But now everyone's up in arms because it's a Disney show, and here we have this character wanting to kill a 14-year-old.
Oh.
Yeah, I think with the Disney connection, and my wife is a little worried about that. I think it's a nightmarish vision in her head of seeing the Disney Castle logo right before seeing the Lucasfilm logo. I keep trying to tell her, okay, well, look what they've done with Marvel. Now, I have a few complaints of what they've done with some of the Marvel animated series, but overall, putting that studio power behind the Marvel studios has made these movies so much better and made me a very happy Marvel fan.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's more about the marketing with Disney.
Right.
No, after the first time you see it, you'll get used to it. Just like we get used to seeing the Warner Brothers logo right before the Clone Wars. And first, that was very disconcerting, but you get over it.
And one thing I would probably note is in front of the Marvel movies, since they fulfilled their obligation with Paramount, there has been no Disney logo, just a Marvel logo. So my guess would be you'll just get a Lucasfilm logo.
Maybe. I don't know.
It'll be sad to not hear that 20th Century Fox fanfare, but I'm sure they'll find a good way to cover for it.
Yeah, but you know what? 10 seconds into the movie, you're going to forget all about that.
Exactly, because it'll be putting up that long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and everybody in the crowd will go, "Yeah!"
Everyone's going to be saying, "20th Century what?"
Exactly. Aren't those people who ruined the X-Men?
Oh.
Well, not completely ruined, but they've done a lot of silly things, but that's a whole other episode.
Simon Kinberg, who is one of the executive producers on Rebels, was the writer on last X-Men movie, and I thought that was great.
After I saw that movie,
I felt so much better about Rebels, knowing that, wow, that was a phenomenal movie, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do with Rebels.
Yeah, and it was definitely a good movie, but I've had issues with the fact that when you see Quicksilver there holding his twin sister as a baby, and not to mention that Havoc has now been brought up in the 60s when Havoc is Cyclops' younger brother. So, but there's other issues, but that's something that unless you read comics, you don't
care. Traveling they did, that's bound to happen.
Yeah. They just don't seem to try to be accurate, but at least they're telling good stories. And so I really enjoyed that last movie. I didn't need to see Hugh Jackman that much.
Oh, I was perfectly okay with that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sure you were. I made Heather not look. Okay.
I love you, sweetie.
Yeah, Sarah was trying to rewind the film. Like, Sarah, you can't rewind the film.
You'll have to find a way to edit the Blu-ray and just cut that out.
We were watching it in IMAX 3D.
Yeah, Sarah was trying to download an app where you can rewind a film that you're currently watching.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yowza.
All right.
Okay, well, we'll move
back
along.
To Rebels.
You're blushing.
All right, so you've actually seen some of the toys in stores already, so tell me about some of those. I haven't gotten to see anything yet.
We've already bought some of the toys in the stores.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, when you see that plush chopper, you can't resist.
It's so cute.
It's very adorable, and there's just so much coming out now. And we bought a couple of other little odds and ends.
What was the
size chopper? We bought the Ezra Bridger mask.
Oh, yeah, the mask.
And at some point, you got to say, okay, hold on. There's more coming out. Let's pace ourselves.
Yeah. There's a big giant X-Wing fighter that's, what is it, $40 or something? But it's like 2.5 feet long. Wow.
Yeah, but that's not really necessary, the Rebels line.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, we did not
get that. New Star Wars toys.
Right.
And with all the Rebels logo on it.
Yeah, and you have the Inquisitor lightsaber.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of want to get that and see how that works.
Yeah.
And
because it's not, it doesn't come assembled, so you can't really see it.
Yeah.
But it looks like assembled until you buy it and take it home.
Right, but it looks like it's going to fall apart first time you hit something.
Well, yeah.
That's actually one of the things that I've been confused about is, okay, so the Inquisitor, you hear it, and it sounds like it's going to be a command ship, but it's a guy, but I'm wondering, okay, well, the Inquisitor sounds like a title, so what is his name? Is he a Sith, or who is the Inquisitor?
No, he's not a Sith.
I think he's like Darth Vader. He's a...
He's an agent.
Yeah, so he has Force powers, and he's sent to hunt down any remaining Jedi. Basically, and he's voiced by Jason Isaacs, which I think is super cool. Yeah,
very cool. And for anyone who doesn't know who Jason Isaacs is, we'll just tell you to go watch some Harry Potter movies, starting with the second one, or watch The Patriot, or
Sirius Black.
No,
not Malfoy, Sirius Black. He was Lucius Malfoy.
Lucius Malfoy. Thank
yes.
you.
He was also Get played a pretty names. Good Captain Hook in a live action Peter Pan about 2005 was that?
Oh.
Cool. Yeah, he made a pretty good Captain Hook.
Nice.
Yeah, so he pretty much worked under Darth Vader hunting down the Jedi.
Which has made me wonder, did you all play the Force Unleashed games?
We're not gamers.
Yeah.
I thought maybe because it was Star Wars you'd make an exception.
Yeah, we tried. Yeah, we just can't spend that much time playing games. I don't know. Yeah. I get into the Super Mario Brothers games, but that's about it.
Now that we're podcasting,
yeah, there's like no time for anything like that.
No time for backup. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Except for I'm making time for Disney Infinity 2. I got to. I'm excited for that.
But yeah,
But where I was going with that is okay. So they've introduced in The Force Unleashed a character. I forgot what his first name is, but they call him Starkiller, which is very appropriate, as you probably will know. Yeah. And he is the apprentice of Darth Vader that Darth Vader is secretly grooming to kill the Emperor. And throughout the course of the first game, I haven't played the second one yet, throughout the course of the first game, Darth Vader kind of hatches this plan in order to kind of catch the Emperor off guard. What he needed him to do is like, what we need is a full-scale rebellion, so you actually go undercover and are helping the rebellion until eventually your lead character realizes the rebellion is right and Darth Vader's been using him all this time, especially when he finds out Darth Vader killed his father, spoiler warning. But I was wondering, now with that character, he was killed at the end of the first game, but the second one, there's like a clone of him or something. But I'm wondering, because George Lucas really apparently did enjoy the story that they'd come up with, and I know he wiped out a lot of the canon of the books and things, but I'm wondering if they'll find a way to introduce Starkiller into Rebels. But I don't suppose you've heard anything about that possibly happening, have you?
No, I haven't heard a thing. I can't see that happening.
I would love it, though.
I think we're going to stick with the Inquisitor. I just can't see them introducing him.
They already have a lot of characters to deal with. I think at this point they're more worried about everyone being able to identify with at least one or two of the characters and fleshing out their story arcs.
And onto a business sense, I don't know who owns the rights to Starkiller. Mm. I don't know if Disney does, so I doubt we're going to be seeing him.
Well, I would figure he'd be owned by LucasArts, and Disney did buy LucasArts, didn't they, with the whole package?
Well, they bought Star Wars, but they don't have the rights to the movies.
Because they bought Lucasfilm.
Right.
And I know distribution rights, they just recently, sometime this past year, they bought the distribution rights for Indiana Jones, which got a lot of people buzzing, thinking, well, does that mean you're going to make some?
Yeah. But
wouldn't hold my breath.
Right.
Yeah, the rights to Empire and Jedi don't come back up for sale until 2020, that's when their contract is up. So I don't know if they have the first rights to renew or what happens at that point, but as for Star Wars A New Hope, that's forever in Fox's possession.
Mm.
So I don't know who owns. I think they may have the rights where they can continue making stories and using the characters, but I don't know. It's one of those business things that just gets so bogged down.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they have the rights to the character, sure, but I don't know. That's the kind of stuff I like to stay out of, just because it's just it'll sort itself out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just hope it works out for the best.
Yeah. And so far, so good.
I'm going to skip this next question because I think we've already answered it, but I was going to ask if there was a Clone Wars character that could make an appearance, who would you like to see return? But I guess we've already kind of talked about, really, we're not expecting anyone to return other than Obi-Wan.
Right.
Making an appearance. If there was, I'd like to see Captain Rex come back. I know Ahsoka is the obvious answer, but I'd like to see what happens to Captain Rex now that he could conceivably be a stormtrooper, or did he defect? But that's going to, whereas the Clone Wars was this huge galaxy-wide story, Rebels is going to be more of a contained story with these characters of the ship, the Ghost. Whereas in Clone Wars, you'd always be jumping around to different characters in their stories, but this time they're going to keep just to those core characters.
Yeah, and probably with the ownership issues, I don't know if they can even have them like even meet with Mon Mothma at any point and become official part of the rebellion or anything like that.
Hmm.
It would be cool, but yeah, I don't see them really connecting it to the trilogy at all. As best they can, I think they're going to keep this as separate as they can and have a whole different set of adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
Which still be very cool.
Very cool.
I don't think I really have to ask you your overall impressions based on what you saw on that 7-minute preview. Sounds like you're as excited as I am.
Yeah, oh,
very much so. Very much so. Even from that opening shot of the looming Star Destroyer, that just screamed Star Wars.
Yes, it was like, whoa, we haven't seen one of these new in a long, long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
And I'm loving the fact that Kevin Kiner is taking so much musical cues from John Williams' original cues in the movie. It's kind of like an Easter egg hunt for me. Because I know for me, I pay attention to the music a lot, like probably 50% of my attention. So I like to see what I can pick out.
Yeah, I'm sure David Collins will be covering that for us very well.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Well, that's every question that I had listed out. Is there anything you can think of that we should probably mention?
Any last thoughts?
Last thoughts. Well, we are very, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And with each passing week, with new clips and new trailers, gets us more and more excited.
Yeah, if anything, I want to mention the marketing that Disney has done for it is great, because every week on Mondays, when the show will air, they're releasing a new clip to get us all excited. So they're kind of grooming us to get excited for Mondays and Star Wars.
I'm actually being very careful and not watching those clips, because I'm like, no, I want to wait. I want to wait because I want to see it all at once now. After that 7 minutes, I was like, I'm going to wait now. I'm going to wait.
Well, these clips.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, these clips are actually not a part of the series. They are their own thing.
It's like the micro Clone Wars series from right before Revenge of the Sith.
So they're just kind of introducing characters, and even though they're kind of unfinished in terms of their storyline, you get to know about the characters, but you're not going to see these particular storylines finished within the Rebels series.
Yeah.
Holy sweet monkey grease. Okay, I'm going to go watch these now.
There you go.
So now you can watch them without ruining anything.
Hooray! So, because I hate spoiling things for myself. I really do. I am so careful about not seeing too much, because I spent too much time just going freaking out over like the first Spider-Man movies that I was like, you know, I kind of know pretty much what's happening now in this movie. And
well, with these, they'll introduce you to the characters, not so much the storyline.
Which
so that
be
way,
awesome.
When you watch it, you'll already be caught up and not trying to figure out who is who.
Right.
Which works for me, because there's all these new characters and everything. And like I said, I haven't kept up on it as much as maybe I should have, because I was like, oh, there's so much stuff. And I'm still lost with Clone Wars. I haven't watched season 6, so I want to be careful how much I look into this, because I don't want to ruin Clone Wars for myself. And so it's been panic.
Aww.
Yeah, you got to get caught up before Rebels.
Yeah, I got a lot of watching to do, but I just don't have that much time to do it. And even Labor Day, I can't just sit around watching Clone Wars, because my wife's birthday is that day, and she wants to go to the zoo. And so what she wants, she gets.
There's always the iPad.
I don't
have one. You watch those penguins. I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea.
That lost me completely. I don't. I was like, where did we get to the penguins? We have some penguins now at our Kansas City Zoo. It's actually our new exhibit this year. We're very excited. It was very cool. But we actually got to see a nest with some eggs, but I digress here. And the eggs hatched, and we were excited about that. They put it on Facebook, all the baby penguins. And, yeah, okay.
That's cute, though. Yay.
Yeah, my wife has rubbed that off on me. She's kind of, well, she's a biology teacher, so what do you expect? You know, she's the big animal nut, and I spent so much time with her now that I've even picked up some of her habits, and she managed to extract from me that turns out I am a closet bird watcher. I never realized it, but I was always watching birds and just fascinated with them so much to where now I've bought some. So
there you go.
After 11 years of marriage and having been together 4 years before that, you start to become each other a little bit.
Yeah.
But, okay, anyways, I digress a lot because I do that. You guys can be found now, if anybody's wanting to hear more from you two. It's at skywalkingthroughneverland.com, and you guys can be found on Twitter. It's SkywalkingPod, right?
Yes, at SkywalkingPod, and we are on iTunes and Stitcher and YouTube as well. So, yeah, the first place to go would be skywalkingthroughneverland.com, and all the links to everything will be right there.
And they can also probably find you popping up on your favorite podcast, because you two are just popping up everywhere here lately.
Yeah, randomly we've been asked to be on several podcasts recently, so yes.
I know at least why I was doing it, because I was like, oh, look, it's another Neverland show. I got to have them on sometime. So, but I figured the way you must be popping around to all these other different shows, and you're going to show up even this coming week, you're going to be in multiple places at once. I did establish last week that we did leave our TARDIS behind here somewhere on Neverland, although we did have a few Weeping Angels apparently got on here. Hopefully they have left, but then I would like to be able to keep track of knowing exactly where they are at all times, because, frankly, they frighten me. So, but we did have a TARDIS, so I was thinking maybe that's what they did. They found the TARDIS I left on Neverland, and they're just taking that around and recycling the same hours of time and popping up on all these different podcasts. It makes sense. So, I have a weird twisted logic, but it makes sense to me.
I think we stole Hermione's time turner, actually.
That's Hermione calling in right now.
Yes, where's my time turner? Can't not. You got to be careful about messing with that timey-wimey and seeing yourself stuff in the wibbly-wobbly non-linear fashion.
Yes.
So, okay, enough Doctor Who references from me, but thanks for coming on to the show, guys.
You are welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And you'll be hearing from me again. We got to definitely do a Neverland year in review and talk everything Star Wars and Marvel that has happened in the last year. So I do want to have you guys back on.
Okay.
So, and we'll talk to you later.
We'll be in Neverland.
Alrighty. Skywalk on through, which I still have no idea what skywalking is, but we always see you doing it. Like, how are they walking in the air like that? It's so weird.
You know what? Learn how to skywalk, and remember,
Neverland on Alderaan.
My address is in Alderaan in Disney, Indiana, though, so yeah, don't land on it, because I have a big space station. That would not be good. Okay. All right. Well, we once again thank Richard and Sarah from the Skywalking Through Neverland podcast for stopping by to share with us some information about Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly enjoyed talking to them. They are a fun pair to listen to, and I do enjoy their podcast, and I think you will as well, unless you just absolutely don't like Star Wars, in which case you probably are not listening this far into this episode, because it's been all kinds of Star Wars around here, which is awesome. I have rather enjoyed that. But, you know, we've really run kind of long, so we really better wrap this whole thing up. So I need to remind you all to subscribe to us and rate us on both iTunes and Stitcher. You can find links to do that right there on neverlandpodcast.com. In fact, you can even find links to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast. Follow us on, or like us rather, on Facebook at facebook.com/NeverlandPodcast. Send us an email. I'd really like to know what you've been thinking so far that we've kind of reformatted. We're a little bit more Disney focused, but yet still trying to remain kind of the same show we always were, because we still get to talk about Star Wars and Marvel and anything beyond Disney. But we're going to talk a little bit about more some Disney stuff and sharing some ride audio. If you've been enjoying that, would like to leave a comment, send it to podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com. Or leave us a voicemail, 816-226-6492. If you leave a voicemail, there's a possibility we'll read it, we'll play it right here on air. And if you leave some interesting feedback, even on the email, I'll probably share that as well. So we do encourage you to contact us and leave us those 5-star ratings because we really enjoy it, and it also does help others to find the Neverland Podcast. And we hope you're telling all your friends about the show. And also make sure you are following and liking us on Twitter. I have been sharing daily Marvel – well, not quite daily. Sometimes I skip out on the weekends, and I have missed a couple days this week. But we've been sharing Marvel characters, the ones you're familiar with, for weeks and weeks now. And pretty soon I'm going to start sharing some Marvel characters that maybe you're not so familiar with, but perhaps might show up in a movie later. You'd never know, because Disney did buy all of the Marvel characters. So all these other characters, I'm going to start sharing some other characters, and you never know, they might show up. It will be awesome. It'll be great. And once we've gone through, right now it's been the entire card series from 1992. Once I've completed that set, I do have cards from 1993. I also have these Marvel Masterworks that are oil painting styles. So, you know, these are always fun, of course, to look at. Now, of course, on Facebook, you will find a little bit more news than what I normally share here on the show. So if you're looking for information on something interesting, I am very careful that I try not to put up anything that's going to spoil anything, but I do like to share articles on there. So yes, make sure you're liking us on Facebook and following us there, as well as on Twitter, because you don't always get the exact same thing. I like to mix it up for you just a little bit, just so you can have lots of fun. But okay, we really got to get out of here. We really got to fly you guys all back home. You can't stay in Neverland forever. I wish you could, but another reminder, of course, is to keep that pixie in your pocket so you can sprinkle that pixie dust whenever you need it, whenever you're having just that bad day. You know, try to think good thoughts. You know, you can get through a lot of things sometimes with just the right attitude. It doesn't solve every problem. But, you know, sometimes looking at the problem from just a different point of view really will help. So if you can step away, pixie dust yourself a little bit, take a couple of deep breaths, and then take a look at whatever is getting in your way. You know, sometimes you might just find a solution for it. And we still want to hear some stories. We want to hear from you about maybe somebody who's done something cool and nice for you. It doesn't have to be big. Or maybe you've done something cool and nice for somebody else that you thought just kind of made a cute story. Share it. That is the pixie dust. So, and we want to hear stories about you sharing some pixie dust with other people. So go ahead and leave those in the voicemail and also at the podcast. And also do not forget about September 20th. If you were planning to head out to Toonfest at Marceline, Missouri, come on out there. I'm going to be there. And I'm hoping very soon I will have some people that head up this program at Toonfest. I'll be talking with them on the show. I've called them. I spoke to some people from their main offices that run Toonfest. And also I'm in contact with some people at the Hometown Museum, and I hope to have them on here in the next few weeks so you can hear all about this and if you're kind of confused about Toonfest. Also, once again, neverlandpodcast.com, I have marked off a special page marked Toonfest that you can see some pictures from the 2013 Toonfest that I attended, so you can kind of get an idea of it. Also, we have updated the Friends of the Magic page to show some photos that Jesse took while he was there. So yeah, definitely you got to swing by the website. We're having a lot of fun there as well. I'm trying to put out as much fun stuff as I possibly can, mainly just for you guys, because I love y'all, and you know, and God bless, of course, as we sign off here. And I want y'all to have a good time, and I'm trying to spread a little pixie dust here myself. So until we see you next week, y'all have just an awesome week. All right, and well, you know what? May the Force be with you, and as my friends over at Skywalking Through Neverland like to say, Neverland on Alderaan.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
C. say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.